So I grew up in Massachusetts, and when I was 15, I went to live with my dad in California. And at the time, my dad's biggest hobby was swing dancing. So I ended up going out swing dancing with him a lot, and I really quickly fell in love with the dance. I was a pretty precocious kid. I really loved people. I thought they were inherently good. And not only was the dance awesome, but it gave me this really great way to meet all different kinds of people. And I quickly became obsessed with it, and I got this gig nannying for some instructors from England. And this allowed me to fly around to different parts of the country and eventually the world, attending workshops and competitions and various things they were teaching at. And I would take care of their kid during the day and get to go dancing at night. It was a pretty sweet gig. What this meant was that I was often around all of the instructors at the events. So I was with the celebrities of this giant subculture, and I got to know them pretty well. And one of the celebrities in this subculture was a man named Steven. And when I met Steven, he was in his mid-50s. He was from L.A. He was one of the biggest names in Lindy Hop, the kind of swing dance that we do. And he was one of the only black men in a position of authority in this community that, considering the history of the dance, was entirely too white. And I met Steven when I was 15, and I immediately knew that I had his attention because I could feel his eyes watching me follow me around the party. And he introduced himself to me that night, and I was pretty excited. I was meeting one of my heroes. And I saw him at events over the next few months and the next few years. And we would talk. He befriended me. We would dance together. And then we started talking in between events, online and on the phone eventually. And this was pretty great for me. I felt like I had been chosen. Here I was desperately trying to be an adult in this community as a young person. And this person was telling me that I was mature, that I was special. He told me that he would help me with my dancing. He wanted to help me learn to sing, which is something that I desperately wanted to do at the time. But then he started telling me, you know, people aren't going to understand this friendship, so it's really important that we keep it secret. And then he started introducing sexual topics to the conversation and normalizing it. And when people were drinking at dance events, he started sneaking me alcohol. But I thought we were friends. So in 2006, I found myself in a situation where I was in a really secluded area at a dance event. I was drunk. It was the middle of the night. And he was on top of me. And I panicked when I realized what was happening, and I started pushing him and punching him until he got off of me. And as he walked me back to the place where I was staying, he grabbed me inappropriately and he said, "You know, you started it. I don't know what happened to you that messed you up so badly." And I internalized that and tried to smush it down. And I ended up in that situation one more time with him a couple months later at a different dance event. But after that, I pretty much cut him out of my life. I didn't address what it was, but I didn't want to deal with it. So cut to 2014. I am now living in Baltimore, 26 years old, 4 years out of college. I own the Mobtown Ballroom, where I get to teach swing dancing all the time. I have my own jazz band, so I get to sing. And in college, I had met a really excellent therapist who had helped me address this issue a little bit, and I was sort of accepting it as assault light, as my 20s mind called it. But I had pushed it down and hoped I would kind of never have to think about it again. But here I was still dancing and still seeing Steven at events. And I avoided him pretty much at all costs. But now I was teaching young people from West Baltimore, and I was bringing them to the dance events with me. And suddenly seeing him at events took on a different light when I was with 15-year-old girls that I was responsible for. So something started nagging at me. I thought, maybe this was really assault, and maybe I wasn't the only one he had done this to. So I did like an in-depth Google search of his name, and I found this ridiculous website called Cheaterville, where you can out your cheating spouses. And somebody had outed Steven, but in the comments underneath, someone else had said that when she was young, Steven had really hurt her. And so while this isn't proof, it confirmed my suspicions a little bit. So I started having this internal dialogue with myself. Do I have a responsibility as someone who represents these young people and someone who this happened to say something? Or am I making a big deal out of nothing? Or is it a big deal and I'm colluding with him to keep his own behavior secret? And at the same time, won't people be really mad at me if I kind of shatter their image of all of our hero? Also, there's a legacy in this country of white women accusing black men of assault. And what would it mean? Would I be perpetuating a negative stereotype of black men in this already racially fraught community? But at the same time, if there were other women who this had happened to, I was in a pretty good position. I was still here. I was still dancing. But my paycheck came from me. I had my own community. And I wasn't really at risk. I didn't know how someone would go about making this known to the rest of the world. This was before the most modern rendition of Me Too. It was before call-out culture. But I just started writing. I pretty much obsessively started writing. It was like I was vomiting up all of these emotions that I had tucked away for so long. And while I was writing, which took me about a month, I did things like I read the instant message conversations that I had with him when I was a teenager. They were saved on my mom's computer, luckily. I told my parents, which was really challenging. I called the people I nannied for at the time, who were like my other parents. And judging by their reactions, I decided, you know what, I really do need to say something. And in deciding that, I stepped back from the situation. I thought, you know what, if there are other women out there, then they're going to be caught off guard. I've had all this time while this is boiling up inside me. So it's my job to lay the foundation of credibility. I have to say this as clearly and accurately as I possibly can, and they can fill in the emotions later. And if I'm going to do this, I'm going to need to know that I can handle the worst case scenario. If this entire community of people that I love turns on me and I'm no longer a part of it, I have to be okay with that. And in order to be okay with it, I have to know that what I'm saying is something I actually believe, that I know in my core that I'm right. And this, I think, was the hardest part about it, because what it meant was that I had to look at the situation for real for the first time and realize this wasn't a relationship, it wasn't a friendship. I wasn't special or mature. I had been targeted. And Stephen didn't have my best interests at heart, which means people don't always have your best interests at heart. And I think that was the most painful part of coming to terms with this. So I ended up writing something, and my first and last blog post ever. And I posted it on Facebook. And last time that I checked, it has been read over 160,000 times. It was translated into 7 different languages. And Stephen no longer teaches swing dance. Thank you. And sure enough, more than 10 other women came forward. Multiple of them, Stephen had raped. Some of them, Stephen had raped when they were teenagers over the course of years and at the event that I attended. And it really wasn't until hearing from these other women that I was able to actually understand what happened to me. Not only was it not a relationship, but it also wasn't assault light. I had been targeted and almost raped by a serial rapist. And I think that, you know, we often say, why now? How come you came out with it now? And it took me almost a decade to come out with my story. And while assault can change someone's life in a single moment, I think the thing that changes somebody more is having to look at the assault and grieve the world that they knew before it. You have to give up your perception of yourself and your perception of the world as it was pre-assault. And that takes a lot of time. Thank you.